مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله Praise be to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, that has blessed us with an opportunity to come and attend the South Level Ijtima, which is held in London in the Hounslow Jamia Masjid. I pray to Allah that we've all come with this intention that we're going to try and take something away from here that will enable us to save ourselves from that fire whose fuel is stones and men. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amiri al-Sunnat, the founder of Da'wat Islami, Alama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razvi, may Allah keep his shadow upon us. In his Risala, I want to rectify myself. He quotes hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, that the one who sends salat upon me once, Allah azza wa jal showers 10 blessings upon him. And the one who sends salat upon me 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jal showers 100 blessings on him. And the one who sends salat upon me 100 times, Allah Azza wa Jal inscribes between both of his eyes that this person is exempted from hypocrisy and the fires of hell. And on the day of judgment, his place will be with the martyrs. Sallu ala al-Habib. Inshallah, today we're going to ask ourselves some questions. What type of Muslims are we? How do we live our lives? Are we Muslims part-time? Are we Muslims once a year? Are we like football supporters who put on a shirt once a week and go and watch the game? Do once a week, do we put on a shalwar kameez and a topi and go to the masjid? Is that the type of Muslim that we are? My dear Islamic brothers, Islam is not a game. It's not a pastime. It's not a hobby. It's not something you do in your spare time. Islam is your life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the moment you cry when you are born until you die, you live your life as a Muslim. My dear Islamic brothers, we sacrifice our whole lives to achieve success in this dunya. A person, he will work day and night to build up a business. He'll not look over his shoulder. He'll not look over his shoulders to see what is happening to his children, because he feels that what he is doing is for his children. A person that works day and night to build up a business, to build up wealth, to build these houses, to build these courtiers, to get all this mean, in his heart, he's thinking to himself that I am doing this for my children. This is his mentality. The net result is, he may achieve this. He may even become a millionaire. He may have the biggest house, he may have the most property, he may have the most land, the most money. But when he dies, what has he left behind? He has left behind nothing. Because that money, that land, that property is no longer his. It has been distributed amongst his family. His family have taken it all. He has not left anything behind. We are told that when a person passes away, he can only benefit from 3 things. Number 1, pious children. Number 2, knowledge which people benefit from. And number 3, anything he has built and people take benefit from him, he will get the blessings from that as well. With regards to the first, the tarbiyat of our children, yes, When you pass away, you may leave them millions of pounds, but it will filter away. And even if it doesn't filter away, and then children of yours make them millions into billions, you will not benefit from it. You will not get any benefit from it in the grave. If your children do not pray for you, you will achieve nothing in the grave. Amir al-Sunnat, in Method of Fatiha, page 3, he quotes a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, in which the Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam is reported to have said, "The people of my ummah, they will enter their graves carrying the burden of sins, but when they rise from them, they will be sinless, because the sins would have been forgiven due to the dua of the believers." As I said before, you leave your children with millions of pounds and you will get no benefit. But if you leave them with Islam in their hearts, if you leave them with the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their hearts, if you leave them with the love of the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their hearts, the right tarbiyah for your children, then you will get the benefit. And where are we going to get this benefit, my dear Islam brothers? We haven't got the time. We don't take our children out. We need to bring our children to these ishtimas, not just send them. As the Mubalik said that normally, we just send them to the ishtimas, we send them to the masjid, we send them on the kafilas, we need to bring them and take them with us as well. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami provides this platform. Dawud Islami provides this platform in which you can bring your children. Because the problem, my dear Islamic brothers, is we don't have that education. We don't have that education that we can pass on to our children. We don't know how to give them the tarbiyat. But Dawud Islami is there for you. Dawud Islami provides the platform in which you can bring your children to the weekly ishtimas. Take your children with you on the Madani Kafras, and they can learn something and achieve something, so that when you close your eyes, they will be able to give you something. Number two, the second thing that we will benefit from when we pass away is knowledge that we have passed on to others and other people benefit from. The problem again, we don't have the knowledge. We don't know how to pray our namaz properly. We don't know how to learn, so we don't know something ourselves. How can we pass this knowledge on to others as well? And my dear Islamic brothers, that alone should be enough to convince us. That should be enough to convince us that we should travel on the Madani Kaflas and learn how to pass on the deen of Islam. But if I was to transfer that, into monetary terms, and if I was to say to you, look, if you teach somebody how to perform Salah, you will get this much money. You will get £1,000, you'll get £5,000, you get £10,000, all of a sudden the Madani Kafla Maktaba will have a long queue. But our mentality, our Madani Zain is not there. Our mentality is such we cannot see the benefits in the hereafter. We want to see the benefits here. We are so much in the dunya that if I say to you, look, teach this person how to pray Salah, I'll give you £1,000, there'll be a queue here. But teach this person how to pray Salah and you'll get the sawab of 100 Hajj, I'm too busy. This is our mentality. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that when the Madani Kafla Maktab opens at the end, that we all make a long queue. And that people can't get out of this building because the queue of the Madani Kafla Maktab is so long. Number three, anything he has built and people benefit from it. Again, we build our houses. We build our buildings. We build our coaches. Do we spend any money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Do we build a well in which people can benefit from? Do we donate to the building of a masjid? Do we donate to the building of a madrasa? Because these are the things, that koti that you build back home, the biggest koti in the village, will be no benefit to you. But that money that you give to the madrasa, that money that you give to the masjid, that money that you did in buying a well so that people can drink from that well, that will benefit from you. You will get the benefit from it. You'll not get the benefit from that koti at all. My dear Islamic brothers, we need to ask ourselves the questions. Are we ready to die? Are we ready to face our Creator? It is narrated in Sahih Bukhari that our corpse, our body, will speak after we passed away. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that when the funeral is ready and the men carry it on their shoulders, if the deceased was a righteous person, it will say, take me hurriedly. And if it was not a righteous person, it will say, woe to me, where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? I'm afraid. Its voice is heard by everything except man, and if he heard it, he would fall unconscious. What is our corpse going to say? What is our body going to say on that day when people are carrying us to the graveyard? Will our corpse say, yes, please, take me quickly. Take me quickly, I want to get there. Or will the corpse say, no, please, put the brakes on. Stop. Take me back. I'm not ready for this. I need to do something. We can't go back. There's no way back. You cannot go back. What will our corpse say on that day? It is also narrated in Sahih Bukhari that a funeral procession passed and the people praised the deceased. A funeral procession went past and the people saw the procession. The people said that, mashallah, this person was a good person. He was a nice person. He did this, he did that, and they were praised him. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam said, it has been affirmed to him. Then another funeral procession passed and the people spoke badly of the deceased. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam said, it has been affirmed to him. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, what has been affirmed? He replied that you praised this person, so paradise has been affirmed for him. And you spoke badly about this person, so hell has been affirmed for him. You people are witnesses on earth. My dear Islamic brothers, another question that we need to ask ourselves. Not just ask ourselves, what will our corpse say on that day? What will people say about us on that day? In your community where you live, in your streets, in your mahalla, in your town where you live, where you work, what do people think about you? Do they think that you're a pious, honest, righteous person? Or when they see you, do they turn the other way? Do they run a mile when they see you because they're afraid of you? Do they run a mile because they're afraid that you will swindle them, that you will cheat them? What do people think about you in your community? Let's look at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and look at some of his examples of how he lived his life. You've heard the famous story in which there was a woman, she was waiting in the middle of the town with her bags around her. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, what are you waiting for? And she says, I'm waiting for somebody to help me carry the bags to the end of the town. I want to leave this town. I want to leave this town because na'uzubillah, in this town there is a madman. There is a magician. There is a person that's taking them, is the people away from the deen of their parents. Ask yourself the question. If you were talking to somebody and that person was talking ill about you, not knowing that the person is talking to you. He's calling you names, not knowing that you're there in front of him, thinking that you're somebody else. How would you react? How would you react? Let's see how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reacted. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, here, I'll carry your bags. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up the bags and carried the bags to the end of the town. And all the way to the end of the town, this woman is cursing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not knowing that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is carrying her bags. What would you do? What would you do? They get to the end of the town. And the woman said, you can leave my bags here. Again, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said nothing. And as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around to walk back, the woman said, my dear son, you're a very kind and gentle person. Tell me your name and tell me your father's name. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I'm that person that you've been talking about all the way here. Allahu Akbar. The woman, she started to shed tears. And she said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will you not take me back with you? She accepted Islam, my dear. Why did she accept Islam? Did she look at the science in the Quran? Did she compare the Quran to another book? Did she look and read all the verses and think, is this the truth or not? No. Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that kirdar came through and that's what broke her heart. That's what opened her heart and made her realize that this person must be telling the truth. Another famous incident. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was coming home, a woman used to wait for him on purpose. And as soon as she saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she would throw rubbish on top of him. How would you react? If you're walking past somebody's house and somebody throws rubbish on you, how would you react? How did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam react? Again, he did nothing. Many of us would have picked up a brick, thrown it over the wall. Many of us would have banged the door down. Many of us would have got sticks out, rocks out, and done all sorts of things. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then one day, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going past this same house, no rubbish. No rubbish. No rubbish is thrown upon him. Again, ask yourself, how would you react? Today, I've got away with it. Today, no rubbish has been thrown upon me. How did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam react? He knocked on the door. He knocked on the door and he inquired. He said that in this house there is a woman. Is she okay? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that the woman, she is ill. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came inside, inquired about the health of this woman. And you can imagine, this woman is looking up at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same person that every day she'd been throwing rubbish on, and today this person is coming and asking about my health. Again, the tears began to flow, and the woman accepted Islam. How? How did she accept Islam? The character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it's easy for us to stand here and say, yes, but that's the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can never achieve that much sabr. We cannot have that same kind of patience. We cannot have that kind of character. And this is true. But at least we can aim towards that. We need to learn about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to learn the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to learn how to change our character in every aspect. Anger control, mouth control, eye control, ear control, hand control, body control, all these things. You will only learn them if you travel on the Madinah Conference. You need to travel on these Madinah Conference and change the way we are. Become a proper salesman. In the majority of the Muslims, our concept of sacrifice, our concept of success, our concept of failure are all unfortunately wrong. Our concept of sacrifice is to work hard day and night. Put in as many hours as we can, earn as much money as we can. And if you ask somebody what is the Islamic concept of sacrifice, they will say, oh yes, well, every year we give the qurbani. Once a year, we give the qurbani, that is the Islamic concept of sacrifice. And unfortunately, my dear Islamic brothers, when the month of Dhul Hajj comes and people start giving the qurbani, they find it hard. Many, many people have said, I cannot afford to give qurbani this year. In this country. They cannot afford to give a cow, a share in a cow which is 30, 35 pound or 40 pound. They cannot afford that. But they can afford the monthly mobile phone bill which is more than that. They can afford the internet connection which is more than that. They can afford the latest shoes or latest clothes or latest shirt which is 10 times more than that. But they can't afford a share in a cow of qurbani. What is our concept of qurbani? Our aims in life have all been hijacked. Let us compare our sacrifice, what we think is sacrifice in this dunya, and what Allah Azza wa Jal tells us sacrifice is. I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 162. Please declare, surely my prayer and my sacrifice and my living and my dying are all for Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the Lord of all the worlds. In Tafsir Nurul Irfan, we are told our lives are not a worldly life, but a religious life. Worldly life is that which makes you unmindful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. My dear Islamic brothers, we should work to live, not live to work. This dunya, it is a means for us, but it should not become everything. The example I can give you is, imagine you are in a ship, and the sea is the dunya. The sea is the dunya with the... As a result of the sea, you will get to your destination. You need the sea to take you to the destination. But when the sea starts coming inside your ship, when the water starts coming inside your ship, it slows you down. And when the water gets so much inside your ship, you drown. That is the dunya. Yes, we need the dunya. But when the dunya becomes inside us, we don't get anywhere. And that is what is happening to us today. My dear Islamic brothers, this world is just a temporary place. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and the life of this world is nothing but a sport and a play, and undoubtedly the home of the hereafter. That is the true life. What a good thing if only they all knew. Allah is telling you, this is just a game, this is just a sport. Like when you watch a game or you watch a sport, and for 90 minutes, for a full day, you get excited, you get emotions are up and down, and you get angry, you get happy, and then at the end, when the whistle is blown, you said, it's just a game. That's what this life is like. Emotions up and down, up and down. At the end of this, when the final whistle is blown on your life, you realize that this is just a game. It's over with. When we look at our aims in our life, when we look at what we want to achieve, some of us want to become doctors, some of us want to become lawyers, some of us want to get a red passport. These are our aims. Let's look at what Allah Azza wa Jal tells us our aim should be. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, and I give you the translation from Tanzul Iman, Surah Al-Iman, Imran, Ayat 145. No soul can die without the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the time of which is already recorded. And whoso desires the reward of this world, we give him this. And whoso desires the reward of the hereafter, we shall bestow him of this. And we shall reward the grateful people. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to you, what do you want? You want the dunya? I give you the dunya. You want the hereafter? I give you the hereafter. What do we want? This dunya is here to test us. This dunya is here to test us. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, and again, I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayat number 35. Every soul is to taste death, and to prove you by evil and good for trial, and to us you are to return. We're all going to have a trial. Good trials, bad trials, hard trials, they're all going to be there in front of us. This dunya is a trial. It is there for us. Allah Azza wa Jalla also tells us in Surah Mulk, Ayat number 2, who created death and life that he may try you as to which of you is best in deeds. This is what this dunya is about. Regarding Surah Mulk, Amir al-Sunnah gives us the beautiful Madani Namat card, in which Madani Namat number 3, he says to us, today did you recite Ayatul Kursi, Tasbih Fatima, Surah Ikhlas after performing each of the daily salah, and before going to sleep, did you recite or listen to Surah Mulk at night? My dear Islamic brothers, we are wasting our time. Wasting so much time. Imam Ghazali, Ramatullah, in Minajul Ahmadine, he gives us a beautiful example. He says, let's assume that someone has a very valuable and exquisite jewel. That someone has a diamond. Now, if he sells that diamond for a low price, he's got a diamond and he sells it for a few quid, then what would you think about that person? You will think that that person has made a great error. That person, he has a deficiency in his labor, he has a weakness in his vision, and he has a shortness of reason. He can't think straight. He's not looking to the future, he's not looking at what this is really worth. He's just looking at a few coins in his hands and he's thinking, that's all right for now. Not realizing that that jewel is worth millions. But he's selling it for a few quid because he needs that few quid now. Imam Ghazali says, this dunya is like that. This dunya is like that as well. That we strive for this. We sell our hereafter for a few pennies so that we can get the dunya today. We sell the true life. We sell that part of our life for today. Because we haven't got that long-sightedness. We are very short-sighted and we don't plan for tomorrow. We need to learn to make the right sacrifices in our life. Today, alhamdulillah, we have made the right sacrifices. Alhamdulillah, you've all made the right sacrifices by coming to this ijtima today. The question again I'm going to ask you is, was it hard? Was it hard to come to this ijtima today? How much have we lost? Some of us may have lost money. Some of us may, those that have got holidays, okay, you get the money back. But many of us may be on a daily labor or taxi drivers or other people, we've lost money today. My dear Islamic brothers, if it is in your destiny, you will get that money back. And if it is not in your destiny, that money wasn't there for you in the first place. After the North level Ijtima, a few weeks ago, there was a brother there. And because as we know, it was at the weekend, he was a taxi driver. And he said that, you know, over the weekend, you know, I make my money. I'm a taxi driver. But he decided to go to the North level Ijtima and he spent his time there. And he said to me that the first day back that I went to work, I made more money in that one day than I would have made all weekend. If it's in your destiny, you'll get it back. And that brother, he got it back. And our lives, our dunya, are always there when we get back. You know, when you are invited to the Madani Kafla, Shaitan will whisper into you that, look, You've got this to do, you've got that to do, you've got to move the car, you've got to do this, you've got these problems at home, you've got all these sort of things to achieve. Shaitan will continue to whisper to you. The question I want to ask you today is, when you go to Pakistan, when you go on a holiday, does Shaitan do them same whispers to you? All of a sudden, Shaitan's not whispering to you. When you have to go to Pakistan for a month, Shaitan doesn't whisper to you, oh, what about your house, what about your business? When you're invited to go on holiday in Europe, Shaitan doesn't, oh, what about your house, what about your business? But as soon as you have to go to an ishtama, as soon as you have to be invited to a madani kafla, Shaitan's on your case. Shaitan knows that this is my chance, I've got to stop this brother from doing this. I don't care if he goes to Spain for a week, I don't care if he goes to Pakistan for a week. But a madani kafla for a weekend, I've got to stop it. There's a solicitor, he said to me, that I can spend hours on the phone, and it doesn't bother me. But as soon as the time for salah comes, I start thinking to myself, I haven't got 10 minutes, I'm really, really busy. How am I going to get these 10 minutes to replay the salah? And then he said to us that, look, this is Shaitan whispering to me. That Shaitan doesn't whisper to me that I'm wasting an hour on the phone, but Shaitan whispers to me when it's time for salah. Shaitan never says to me, look, you're wasting an hour here, what are you doing? Get off the phone, man. But it's time for salah, Shaitan says, look, you haven't got 10 minutes. Don't do this. We need to learn, my dear brothers, to be content with what we have. In Mukashif al-Qulub, there's a hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala is reported to have said, two types of hungry men are never satisfied. A wealth-hungry person and a knowledge-hungry person. My dear son, I pray to Allah that we are all hungry for the thirst of knowledge. My dear Islamic brothers, we know how to make dollars. We know how to make pounds. But we don't know how to make our wuzu. We know how to fill in claims forms. We understand how to do this. But we don't know how to read the Quran. We study the local rules and regulations and find ways and how to save ourselves from paying a little bit of tax. But we don't know how to save ourselves from that fire, fuel, the stones and men. Once again, my dear Islam brothers, our priorities are wrong. Don't you think that the Sahabas, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they had wives, that they had children, that they had needs, that they had wants, that they wanted to live their lives as well? Of course they did. They wanted to live a comfortable life as well. But they also realized that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet. They also realized that this job of spreading the deen, no other prophet is going to come. This job of spreading the deen is now our job. There was more than 100,000 Sahaba, but only 10,000 Sahaba, companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are buried in Jannatul Baqi. Don't you think that them companions, they wanted the companionship of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Don't you think that whenever they opened their eyes, they wanted to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Don't you think that they wanted to read the namaz behind the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Don't you think that they wanted to be buried in Jannatul Baqi? Of course they did, all of them did. But they also realized the importance of leaving their homes and spreading the deen. They realized the importance of going on Madani kafras and spreading the deen. They knew that that was more important. And they sacrificed that for them. We need to sacrifice time to acquire knowledge. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is reported to have said that he who issues forth in search of knowledge is busy in the cause of Allah azza wa jal until he returns in his quest. And to acquire knowledge, my dear Islamic brothers, and to pass knowledge on to others is more superior than nafli prayers. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is reported to have said, acquiring knowledge in company for an hour in the night is better than spending the whole night in prayer. But again, our greed is never ending. Our lust for wealth is never ending. In Makashif al-Kuluf, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is reported to have said, that if a man gets two valleys of gold, if he has two valleys of gold, he will want a third valley. The only thing that can fill a man's belly is soil. We've never made enough. We've made 1,000, we want 10. We've made 10, we want 100. We've made 100, we want 1,000,000. We've got 2 houses, we want 3 houses. We've got 3 houses, we want 4 houses. We're never ending. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what beautiful words to wisdom when he said that if a man is given two valleys of gold, he wants a third valley as well. My advice to you, my dear Islamic brothers, is let Dawat Islami be your GPS system. This mahal, this beautiful environment of Dawat Islami, it provides you with a platform to save your imam in the form of a Madani Namaz card and a Madani Kafla. And it provides you all the security devices you need to protect yourselves. And you know, like your GPS that you have in your car, you can keep on changing the setting. You can say, I'm going to London today. I'm going to Bradford tomorrow. I'm going to do the today after. The GPS setting in Dawud Salaam is fixed. It's going to paradise via Medina. Keep following that GPS system. And that GPS system, if you have a GPS system in your car, when you go off route, it gets you back on the route as well. And you know one of the beautiful things about these GPS systems, and this is what the mobilics of Dawud Salaam need to be like as well. Because if you have a GPS system in your car, and you go off the route, what does it do? It doesn't get angry with you. It doesn't shout at you. It works out how to get you back on the route again. You can not listen to the GPS system all day long. Keep on going left and the GPS system goes right. Go left, go right. And you're going the opposite direction. The GPS system never gets angry with you. All it does is it says, okay, you've done this. I'll find another way. I'll find another way. And that's what the mobilics of Dawud Salaam need to be like. And we are like, alhamdulillah, that we constantly will try to find another way of getting you back on the route. But you have to let people. You have to get this GPS system inside you. And then inshallah you will see a change. You may think, today we've heard about the Bayans of Tawbah, you may think that you're so far gone, that you've committed so many sins that there's no chance for me. My dear Islam, in this country alone, thieves, drug dealers, alcoholics, adulterers, to name just a few, have all rectified themselves in this beautiful mahal of Dawud Salaam. And this is what this mahal of Dawud Salaam is about. Not just, you know, all the people that you see today that have done a Bayan today, none of them came into this environment to stand here and do a Bayan. They all came into this environment to rectify themselves. We all come into this environment to rectify ourselves, and when we come into this environment to rectify ourselves, Amir al-Sunnah puts something in our heart. And it makes us realize, okay, we're rectifying ourselves, but what about everybody else? What about everybody else? And that is the mission statement of Dawud Salaam, that I must try to rectify myself and the people of the whole world. Regarding Tawbah, my dear Islam brothers, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih Muslim, he mentions a story in which a man is in a desert and he has with him his camel, and on the camel are his provisions. He has water and his food. Now I want you to, when I'm telling you this story, I want you to imagine that you're that man. The man, he's in the desert, in the middle of the desert, he's got his camel with him, he's got his food with him, he's got his provisions with him, they're all on the camel. All of a sudden he turns around and the camel's gone. He panics, as you would. He's in the middle of the desert. He's panicking. Looks for his camel. He can't find it. He climbs to the highest sand dune, looks around, can't see the camel. He then takes a rest. It's the middle of the day, the heat. Gains his strength again, looks around for the camel again. Can't find it. He's now starting to panic. Third time, he regains his strength, runs around, tries to find the camel. He can't find it. Now he's given up. He realizes that, you know, I'm going to die now. So he lies down. He closes his eyes in the midday heat and he waits for the angel of death to come to him. Then all of a sudden he opens his eyes and what does he see? He sees his camel. He sees his camel with all the provisions on it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions, how happy would that person be? How happy would you be? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is more pleased than that person. Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his servant. My dear Islamic brothers, attach yourself to this beautiful mahal of Dawud Salaam. Those people that watch the Madani channel, they will realize that we have attached ourselves to beautiful Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I also humbly request you all that if you watch this channel, you will see what a Amir al-Sunnah is like. And if you have not attached yourself to Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, if you have not done bath anywhere, then I humbly request each and every one of you to attach yourself to Amir al-Sunnah. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that I have said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that today when we leave this place, we leave with an intention, a firm intention, that we're going to make a change in our lives.
Inshallah.
We're not just come here to meet people, we're not just come here to attend the bookstalls, we're not just come here so that we can go to London for a day. We come here with the intention to change ourselves. Ameen bi jahil Nabi al-Ameen.
May you keep ascending success still.